Did you know that every person has exactly 18 inches from their brain to their heart? Then do I need to keep going, or am I going to use that line?
It's fine. Yeah, if you want to use that. Let's just do that one more time. Okay. And you're not even going to be seen, so if you just want to talk, that's fine.
I'm not going to be seen. Why not?
Because this is totally different from the location, the other one we did. just do the line.
Okay. Did you know that there's exactly 18 inches between your head and your heart? Like from the distance from your brain to your heart? Every person is.
That should be fine.
Okay. All
right, let's move on to the next one. The next one's about we spend 2 hours.
Oh.
Maybe you want to start at the top of.
Yeah. So one of the routines that me and my son have is that we do one worship song. We spend about 5 minutes listening. So our daily routines are for me and my son. Is we do one worship song, then we spend about 5 minutes reading the Bible, and then we spend another 5 to 10 minutes memorizing Bible verses.
Great. Okay. Let's move on to the next devotional.
Okay, next one. Okay. Yep. And that's rolling on that?
Yep.
The red light's not on.
Yeah, it doesn't have a red light.
Oh, okay. Hey guys, welcome to this week's session, and today we're talking about murmuring. I'm sure that you have some friends that are super negative and all they do is complain and murmur. And I'm sure you have some friends that are super negative and all they do is complain and murmur. Now, no one ever uses the word murmuring anymore in regular talk, but the Bible talks about it a lot. And I'm sure some of people who are millennials, they're probably like, murmur? I've never even heard of that word. Well, I Googled the definition of murmuring, and it said that it's a soft, low, and indistinct sound produced by a person or a group of people speaking quietly or at a distance. And it's also an expression of discontent and dissatisfaction. Now, murmuring comes when people feel like things are happening in their life that is just not fair. The Bible story that this makes me think of is... The Bible story that this reminds me of is called the Parable of the Workers in the Vineyard. Now, if you haven't heard about it, let me explain it. Now, it starts in Matthew 20. Let me read you that portion. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius, which is a silver coin, for the day, and he sent them into his vineyard. Let me summarize from here. So, this guy hires all these people. He hires one person at 6 a.m., one more people at 9 a.m., some more people at noon, some people at 3, and some people at 5, and he hires all of them to work. Now, when he goes at the end and he starts to pay them, he starts paying the last people first. So he starts paying the 5 o'clock people, the 5 p.m. people first, and he gives them one denarius. And the other guys are like, hot dog, if he gave the 5 o'clock people a whole denarius, then surely we're going to get a lot more people. But when he got to the...
We're going to get a lot more money.
Oh. And so the other guys, when he hired... Let me just start that part. So the other guys that he hired at 6 a.m., they're like, hot dog, if he paid the 5 o'clock people that much money... We're going to get a lot more money than that. And so when he got to the 6 a.m. folks, he only gave them one denarius, which is exactly what he said he was going to do. But they were like, that's not fair. We've been here all day working. Why would they get one denarius starting at 5 o'clock? We've been here slaving in the sun till 6 a.m. That's not fair. And they started grumbling. Let's look at verse 5.
You've been here slaving since 6 p.m.
I said 6 p.m.?
You said 6 a.m. We've been slaving to 6 a.m. is what you said. Because, like, it should be the end of the day. You're saying...
No, they started at 6 o'clock a.m.
Right. Yeah, but you said they slaved to, like, 6 p.m.
Okay. Okay. So when the 6 a.m. folks saw that they only got one denarius, when they've been there since 6 a.m., these other people, they started at 5 p.m. and here they didn't work very long at all. And they're getting the exact same amount of money. And they're like, this is not fair. Let's pick it up and look at verse 5. The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do so, whatever I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I'm generous? So here we see, this is like the classic example of when we murmur and grumble, it's because somehow we feel like we're getting unfair treatment. You've heard me talk about stories about you've heard me talk about before about how I've randomly gotten refund checks from all kinds of stuff when I've decided to tithe and give a lot more than maybe I was used to. And then I thought here you could maybe show a clip of that.
Okay.
Well, when I got these refund checks in the mail, I wasn't like, great, just my luck. Why did I get this refund check? I'm like, no, woohoo, this is such great news. I got a refund check. We don't grumble when things go the way we want them to. We grumble when we feel like we're not getting what we want. So let's pick up. We've already talked about before in Exodus 16, but I want to talk about this again. So this is the manna and the quail in the story. So remember, in verse 16, it says, verse 2, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you've brought us into this desert to starve us to death. Remember, they were eating from the food and the provisions that they had brought back from Egypt. And now the food was running out and they were scared that they were going to have nothing to eat. What happens with us? Anytime we're like, we just start grumbling. I know for me, when I start getting hungry, I just start getting grumbly and I just start getting nasty. Let's read on verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. Verse 6. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against Moses? Verse 6. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord because he has heard your grumblings against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? Moses also said, you will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning because he has heard your grumblings against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. This was really powerful to me because Moses is like, why are you grumbling against me? I'm not the one who did this. And that's what they were doing. They kept grumbling against Moses and Aaron. And what we need to do is we need to say, you know what? This is what God allowed. This is what we are going to do. Now, let's look at Numbers 11:4. The rabble with them began to crave other foods. The rabble with them began to crave other foods. And again, Let me start with the Israelites. Sorry. Numbers 11, start here. Numbers 11, 4. The Israelites started wailing and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we've just lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. Manna, manna, manna. That's all we get. Manna bread, manna soup, manna pot pie, manna sandwiches, manna popcorn, manna cakes, manna burgers." These people are like, if I see one more bit of manna, I'm going to shoot somebody. Now, when I first read this story, I was thinking to myself, I kind of don't blame these people, because when I start eating the same thing over and over again, I start getting a little bit grumbly as well. My sister is an amazing cook, but every time we usually spend Thanksgiving with my sister. And every time we always get this huge turkey and we have all these turkey leftovers. And then for days after Thanksgiving, she cooks turkey salad, turkey pot pie, turkey sandwiches, turkey tetrazzini, turkey noodle soup. I'm like, we are literally like, if I can't even like look at a turkey because she's made so many things with turkey. Well, when you're trying to fast, you are going to want to start murmuring and you want to start blaming God of, this is not working, I'm starving to death, and all these same exact things that the Israelites said are going to start going through your thoughts.
Can you say that again?
Yes.
Okay. And all these same exact things that the Israelites said.
All these same murmuring that the Israelites said are going to be the same things that the Israelites said. No.
How did that go through your head?
The same thing. Okay, now I'm in position. The same things that the Israelites said are going to be some of the same grumblings that you're going to want to say yourself. And you know what? Murmuring makes God sad. He hates it. I want you to hear this. This is in Numbers. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'How long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me? In spite of all the signs I have performed among them, I will strike them down with a plague and destroy them, but I will make you into a nation greater and stronger than they.'" This passage shows that God doesn't like murmuring. And so when you're fasting, you have to really try to do everything you can to stop complaining. And I want to give you an analogy that's going to represent this. And then I'm going to do something else, but I can't do it right now because I'm waiting for the ingredients. So okay, we'll have to take a break.
Okay.
And then I'll be standing up. So I'll do that here, but okay. So we can keep everything. Okay. But you can get a rest with your arm.
Okay. Rolling.
All right.
Am I out? Okay.
Yes, just hold it right there.
Okay.
Yeah. Speeding. Camera speeding.
Oh, can I just see what it looks like on the back? Can you just turn that around? Yes. You have a full shot?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I'll do a clap real quick to sync up camera and sound.
Well, she actually should do it because she's in frame. There we go.
Okay, so I want to give you an... Start over. I want to give you an example, and I have my lovely assistant, Lauren, here, and she's going to kind of show you an example of how God can use even bad times in our lives for good. So what happens is when we start grumbling and we start complaining, it's always because bad things are happening. Nobody starts grumbling when great things are happening. So one of my favorite verses to quote is Romans 8:28. God causes all things, not just some things, all things to work together for good to those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. So you guys know all the ingredients that go into a cake. So one of them is flour. So let's just taste flour separately. What does that taste like, Lauren? You got to take a bigger bite.
Yeah, I'm not a bigger bite.
All right, so we're going to put some flour. She couldn't even take a big bite. That's all she could handle. All right. Now, what else is in cake? Raw eggs. So Let's put a little bit of raw eggs and let's get some on the spoon there for her. Okay, Lauren. Raw egg. Okay. Now, vanilla, that's not too bad, right? We got, it's organic as well. We've got some organic vanilla. Try that. Still not great, right? And even raw sugar, eating raw sugar is not the best. But let's taste that. And so it's just not great, right? So if we take all these ingredients, right? And what God does is he takes the ingredients, he blends them. And honestly, if you think about it, even if you took this cake and put it in the oven and let it sit halfway, let's say it was supposed to cook for 25 minutes, if you took it out halfway, it would still be disgusting. And what's happening is we are analyzing our life, and we're analyzing it when we're eating that bite of raw egg and we're eating that bite of raw flour. And it's disgusting and it's gross. And unfortunately, life is like that. It's a lot like the cake. It's like separately, there's times that it's bitter. There's times that it's raw. There's hurtful times. There's dry times. There's bland times. But what God does is he takes it and he carefully blends it and stirs it up and he puts it into the oven. And if you take it out even halfway, it's still gross. But once God blends it and turns it around, let me show you what an amazing thing. Now, what's funny is when you see this cake, we've eaten a little bit already. It was so good, we had to have some. So now let's give Lauren something good to eat because she's endured all of the bad. But this is what God will turn out. This is what Romans 8:28 promises, that all things blended together will be amazing. And now she's gonna get to eat the real cake. How is that? Delicious, right? So God is able to blend the good and the bad and put it all together for our good. And there's stories in the Bible. Think about Joseph. He was sold into slavery and he was wrongly accused of trying to sleep with Potiphar's wife. And listen, the only way that he could get to what God had wanted him to do is by going into slavery and then becoming prime minister of Egypt. So take this as a reminder. Sometimes we have to go through eating some raw flour, some bland ingredients, some hurtful times, only to end up with an amazing cake.